I wanted to take a moment to honor Kevin and Christy and say thank you for everything you've done for our First Christian Church family. Thanks for your humble servants' hearts and your attitudes that you brought with you. Thanks for all the things that you did behind the scenes that nobody ever saw, that you did to make sure our Sunday gatherings always ran smoothly. You shared your talents with us. You shared your talented friends with us. From time to time, you changed things up. Thanks for leading us and creating opportunities and places for others to bring and develop their talents. Appreciate the planning and the organizing of Christmas Eve and Good Friday services that we'll remember around here for a long time. You played an important role in leading us through a time of transition and worship styles. And I'm absolutely convinced that you were the person and the people that God had in mind to bring us to where we are today, to prepare the way for whoever's next, who will come to be leaders of worshipers here at our church. Thanks for reminding us, our church family, the importance of worship, of always turning our thoughts away from ourselves for just a little while and turning our attention and directing our attention to the one who is worthy of all worship and praise. And Kevin, I always appreciate the fact that you use the power of God's word to turn our attention to him. One of the things I find is worshiping Jesus together is vitally important. It plays an indispensable role of rekindling our spiritual fire and keeping it aflame. Corporate worship brings together God's people around his word, around prayer, around fellowship to encourage us on our ongoing journey of faith. There's an element of worship in Christianity that can't be experienced just on our own or by watching it on television. There are some graces and blessings that just God gives only when his people come together. I think about worship and just wanted to spend a little more time this morning just talking about that. And when I think about it, I think about the words that were penned for Old Testament worshipers by a songwriter found in the Old Testament songbook called the Psalms. In Psalm 95, you find these lyrics that just say this: "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Come. Let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." These words were written of a compelling leader of worship for people to gather with joyful shouts, singing from the heart with thanksgiving, enthusiastically acclaiming to rave about the rock of their salvation, about the great God, the King above all gods, the Creator, the Owner, the Sustainer, the Manager of all creation, and bow down before him. Because he shepherds us, he cares for us, and in moments when we come together, there are opportunities to hear his voice and decide whether we'll follow him. It was written for worshipers to remind them of a time when other people failed to take God serious. When they hardened their hearts toward God and tested him, they paid a tremendous price. And the songwriter's plea is really urgent. Because you find in verses 7 and 8, he says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." The call is a call to worship, to bow down, as you find in verses 6 and 7, to kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. A.W. Tozer wrote these words. He says, "Worship rises or falls with our concept of God." There is one terrible disease in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we do not see God as great as he is. If you could reduce what worship is, if somebody would ask you, define worship, what is it? And there are a lot of different elements of worship, singing and praying and the reading of scripture and hearing it taught, communion, all kinds of different things. But if you could reduce worship down to just somebody say, what is it? Define it. It is the celebration of God. Let me go on to quote from Tozer. He says, "The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God," because you hear often people making references, you know, "God's my co-pilot," or "the man upstairs." And sometimes I think we forget one of the things that God asks us in the Ten Commandments right off. Don't take my name in vain. And a lot of people think, you know, it's swearing and cussing and stuff like that, but it's more than that. It's to reduce his name to nothingness, worthlessness, emptiness, triviality. Tozer says, "We've substituted for one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking and worshiping men. This she has done, not deliberately, but little by little, without her knowledge or her very unawareness only makes her situation all the more tragic. The low view of God entertained almost universally among Christians is the cause of 100 lesser evils everywhere among us." One more quote, he says, "So necessary to the church is a lofty concept of God that when that concept in any measure declines, the church with her worship and her moral standards decline along with it. The first step down for any church is taken when it surrenders her high opinion of God," because worship brings us back to focus on who God truly is. And it's not about just a few minutes once a week. It's to be about a lifestyle. The worship is just how I live my life. Taking those words of Paul in Romans 12 about offering up ourselves as an offering, he refers to it as a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice that pleases God. And in verse 2, he says, "Don't live the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed, and then you'll be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what he wants is right and his plan is good and pleasing and perfect." Because worship brings us to a place where we look up. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a lot to get people to look up, to refocus their view of God, to remember how powerful, how big, how holy, how kind, how merciful, gracious, and loving he is. But worship not only takes a moment to cause our thoughts to be redirected to look up, it also causes us to look inside. Worship brings us to a place often where we really finally see ourselves as we really are and how God sees us. We see things often in worship in our lives that we never bothered us before, but they bother us now. Worship also brings us to a place of response. Because there are moments in worship that you will hear from God, even if you don't want to. Even if you don't want to hear Him, you can't ignore Him. You may want to, and you may for a while, but He is relentless, because He will pursue you to surrender, to be obedient to what He wants from you. Worship will awaken us where we find an all-powerful God who is sufficient, who is able to meet our every need, to bring peace to our chaotic thoughts. Remind us that He's able to do more than we could ever dream or imagine. And He compels us in moments when we don't know what to do to trust Him with all of our hearts. There are times, and I hope there are many, when the Holy Spirit takes the scripture read and the prayers prayed and the courses sung and the truth preached to press to the point of our need. Not just for information, but to move deep into us, to heal our wounds, to give us direction when we feel lost and confused, and to change us. Because there are times in worship that God meets us right exactly where we are, and we wonder, how in the world did that happen? Nobody in the world knew what was going on in my life. And then we're reminded that God. There are moments we come in to worship, maybe carrying the weight of the world, and we're reminded, like from those words in Psalm 42, "My soul, why are you downcast? So disturbed within, put your hope in God." And when you leave, you walk out the door of worship, maybe from those words of Psalm 62, "My soul found or finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him." Oftentimes, when we realize, man, I'm so flawed. I've blown it. I make so many mistakes. How in the world could God continue to forgive me? How does He continue to show love and mercy and grace to me? And worship assures me of those words from Romans 8, that there is nothing. That you leave convinced that there's nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present or the future, any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in creation that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And worship will change us. We sang all kinds of different songs today. And sometimes I hope that the lyrics of the songs as we gather move you. As we declare the greatness of the God that we've gathered to worship. When you read those lyrics and there are moments that you're making declarations, you're making statements. This is what I am. This is what I will do. And do you mean it? Communion reminds us of God's generous, gracious, undeserved love demonstrated through His one and only Son who took the hit for us. Bible teaching challenges us, as Jesus' brother said in His New Testament letter, to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And that's something not to be limited to just a few, but for everyone. Dave Mathis, executive editor of DesireGod.org says, corporate worship demands that we discipline ourselves to respond and not only pursue God on our own terms. He says it's an opportunity to embrace being led and not always taking the lead. He goes on to say, in private worship, we're in the driver's seat. We decide what passage to read or when to pray or what to pray, how long to linger in the Bible reading and meditation, what songs to listen to or sing, what gospel truths to preach to ourselves, and what applications to consider. But in corporate worship, we respond. Others preach, pray, and select songs and choose how longer to linger in each element. But we're positioned to receive. So, to Kevin, thank you for leading well. Thanks for helping us and leading us to know God better and leading us to worship Him. For your selections of songs and scripture that awakened, assured, challenged, and changed us. And for you and Christy personally being worshipers of God so that you could lead us to worship Him. Our church is better because you came here. There's an old Swedish proverb that says, a shared joy is a double joy, and in corporate worship, the adoration and awe and delight in Jesus expands as we magnify Him together. So I know that you'll continue to do what David wrote in Psalm 34. We'll keep doing that here too. To magnify the Lord, and we'll continue all to do that.